Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Monday, November 27, 2017, on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. And as always, thanks for coming along for the ride. A wild and dystopic ride it is, to be sure, and it just gets wilder. We will talk about that a little bit more. I'm your host, Chris Hinckley. We're all road warriors, those who esteem ourselves to be. And as always, feel free to dive into the chat area at roadwarriorradio.chattango.com for interesting and lively discussion. I want to dive in with a kind of a state of the union, so to speak, this morning. A video, YouTube video titled "The Biggest Lie in America." This is from the YouTube channel Jason A. We played some of that stuff in the past, but this is a good synopsis, I think, of kind of what's going on. There, the channel creator has made a number of provocative videos of late, and this certainly not the least of which. So I want to begin today's broadcast with that. While we're waiting, there are a number of other stories that we can kind of talk about. Interesting. New York Times is reporting the sale of Time Magazine this morning, which is provocative, into the hands of Koch functionaries, I suppose you could say. And so that's a story that we'll talk a little bit more about. But right now, hopefully we can play that video. Or maybe we'll wait. So, New York Times reporting the headline, "Time sold to company backed by Koch brothers." That's an interesting headline. New York Times. Meredith, based in Des Moines, is a Midwestern publisher through and through. Its founder, Edwin Thomas Meredith, entered the media business in 1902 with a magazine called Successful Farming. He soon began the still-thriving Better Homes and Gardens, which has a circulation of more than 7 million. Its popular magazines have long focused on families and women, taking aim more at middle America. It has eschewed an expensive headquarters in Manhattan and maintained a diversified portfolio. The company also owns local television stations that has allowed Meredith to better weather the economic storm that has faced print publishers. Billionaire Koch brothers are pictured in the story. David and Charles have backed Meredith's bid. And so it's interesting. But as Meredith has stood relatively strong, Time Inc. has stumbled. The company failed to keep pace as the industry transformation from print to digital rendered old methods of magazine making obsolete, and publishing companies crumbled under the pressure of declines in print advertising and circulation. Basically, the bottom line is that it's just a further consolidation of what has been commonly referred to as mainstream media, generally accepted press. And it's a little bit more background. After Time Warner, the home of HBO and Warner Brothers, spun off Time Inc. in 2014, the publisher was left to fend for itself in a world of increasingly turning its back on print media. Bedeviled by relentless cost-cutting and executive turnover of the company has struggled to articulate a business strategy less focused on the print, the printed page. Mr. Batista, who was named Time Inc.'s chief executive last year, and the new chief operating officer, Jen Wong, embarked on an aggressive strategy to increase digital revenue, including enhanced advertising technology capabilities and offering customers paid services such as insurance for pets and a food and wine club. The company had also earned $400 million in cost cuts. Time Inc. executives had been adamant that their standalone strategy could position the company for a successful future, but in an industry that increasingly values size and breadth, Time Inc. was staring into an ongoing uncertainty. For its most recent quarter, it reported a 9% drop in total revenue compared to the same period last year, and a 12% decrease in advertising revenue. So, it's an interesting deal. It'll be interesting to see where the Koch brothers, what direction Time Magazine heads under the, well, neoconservative, shall we say, the CNP leadership of Charles and David Koch. I don't know about you, but if you visited Time Magazine's website, time.com, I believe is what it is, anytime lately, it's been horrible for a long time. It's one of the worst sites that you can visit. It's one of those sites that will cripple your browser in no short span. And that's unfortunate. There are a number of stories that they've put out over the years that are good stories. But, I mean, you look at it, even today, it's a horrible-looking site. And more importantly, doesn't function very well. But I digress. We'll see where that heads. Speaking of New York Times, Drudge reporting, New York Times apologizes for offending so many readers after a profile of Nazi sympathizer. As the story goes, our reporter went to Ohio to spend time with Mr. Hoveder and submitted several drafts and updates in between assignments that included Hurricane Harvey in Houston, Hurricane Maria in Puerto Rico, and the Roy Moore campaign in Alabama. The story finally ran online Saturday. Whatever our goal, a lot of readers found the story offensive, with many seizing on the idea we were normalizing neo-Nazi views and behavior. How to normalize Nazis 101, one reader wrote on Twitter. I'm both shocked and disgusted by this article, wrote another. And I thought that was interesting because it kind of reminded me of, who said that? The one party I can't remember. I think it was Eustace Mullins who talked about the fact that there's one. After World War II, there's one party, and it's the Nazi Party. Yeah, that was Eustace Mullins. It was a great talk. In a variety of playlists, a talk that the late great Eustace Mullins gave up in Salmon Arms, BC in August of 2000. You can find it. The YouTube channel The Rape of Justice actually published it under the title Only One Political Party Today, The Nazis. That's according to Eustace Mullins. And we should, maybe I should play that, actually. It's a great talk. But we're kind of in the middle of things now, so I don't know. Maybe we'll, or maybe not. Well, hang on to that. That's a great talk. Might as well play it. We'll give you a few minutes of that. It's a longer talk, obviously, and that's an excerpt from his speech back in 2000. But as Eustace Mullins uniquely did, lots of information you won't find anywhere else. Here's that clip. Go ahead, please.
I don't want to get too far away from the Federal Reserve System, because what I really want to tell you about today is these consortium of central banks are set up to rob the population of the entire world. We hear about the third world and the developing countries and so forth, and they're being robbed just the way people in Canada and the United States are. It's the same system. It works for everybody. And that's why you send the troops around to different countries to institute some vague purpose, some political purpose, which no one really understands and no one really cares about. But what is going on is the grand Nazi scheme. There's only one political party in the world today, and that's called the Nazis. And you say, well, Adolf Hitler died in 1945, and that was the end of the Nazi party. But that's because you've never been told what the origin of Nazi is. NA is National Socialism, which was the German Nazis. And in 1923, there was a double agent who came to Hitler, and he said to Hitler, look, your Nazi party is not, your National Socialist Party is not getting off the ground. You need an alliance. And he suggested that they ally with the Zionist Party. So the NA of National Socialism joined with the Zionist Party in the World Zionist Party in 1923, and ever after was known as the Nazis, NAZI. The ZI was for Zionists, but of course no one knew that. Because our popular mythology is that the terrible Nazis were attacking the Jews. But what we were never told is there was a great schism in the Jewish community of the world between the Zionists and the non-Zionists. You see, the non-Zionists were the Orthodox Jews who believed you could not have a Jewish state until the Jewish Messiah came. They didn't acknowledge Christ as Messiah, so they were waiting for their own Jewish Messiah to come. Then you would have a Jewish state, and that Jewish state would rule the world. But the Rothschilds in 1828 decided they couldn't wait for the Jewish Messiah, so they started what they called Reform Judaism under Moses Hess. And Reform Judaism said, yes, you can have a Jewish state before the Messiah comes. And the reason you could have it was the Rothschilds had made so much money, they said, we'll buy our own state. So the Rothschilds sent people out to the Middle East to have Jewish settlements, and which is today the state of Israel, totally created by the Rothschild money. And so Reform Judaism then became the cause of a great schism between Orthodox Jews and Reform Jews. Now, no one has ever told you this, I'm sure, but you think that the Jewish community is monolithic. In fact, it's split sharply down the middle. But even today, they have riots in the Jewish parliament between the Orthodox Jews and the Reform Jews. And they cannot agree on anything because the basic premise is a fundamental disagreement over whether a Jewish state should even exist today. So in Germany in 1923, the German Jews were quite prosperous and quite happy, and they were not interested in becoming Zionists, and they were not interested in going to Palestine. After all, they had beautiful mansions in Germany. They had symphony orchestras, they had art, they had everything, and they were accepted in the community. As Ezra Pound said, Germany was the least anti-Jewish country in Europe. When you went over into Poland and Russia, you had very strong feeling against Jews. But in Germany, they were accepted and happy, so why would you ever have an anti-Jewish government in Germany? And, of course, Hitler, allying himself with the Zionists, he said, after all, you're right. He said, we have the same goals. And so he allied with the Zionist party, and the mission of the Nazis was to force the anti-Zionist Jews to accept Zionism. And this is what the concentration camps were about. They put the anti-Zionist Jews in the concentration camps, and they were placed under the direct administration of the Sonderkommandos, who were the Zionist Jews. So the concentration camps were run by the Zionist Jews in order to punish and get rid of the anti-Zionist Jews, which they did. And, of course, that's a part of the Holocaust that you were never told, that this was a fundamental Jewish disagreement, which the German people, that Daniel Goldhagen wrote a book in which he said, all Germans cooperated in their anti-Jewish feeling and the Holocaust, which was not true at all. The Germans did not even know what was going on, most of them. It's just like in the United States, when we were perfecting the atomic bomb and bombed Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the American people knew nothing about it. It was forbidden to mention the atomic bomb. I was serving in the Air Force at that time. We never heard of any atomic mission or atomic bomb until the bomb was dropped on Hiroshima. So you could say the American people are guilty of the greatest atrocity, the dropping of the atomic bomb on Japanese civilians. But that isn't true. The American people knew nothing about it. I knew nothing about it in the Air Force. And I was right there. So these things go on without the knowledge of the people or the approval of the people. But, of course, they have to accept the results. These things happen, and you're stuck with it. So this is the real story of Zionism, that the Nazis... So then, well, if the Nazis had allied with Zionists, why didn't the Nazi Party survive? Well, what happened was, in 1945, after the German military was defeated, they brought in the German leaders, the German generals, at the Nuremberg trials, tried and convicted and executed them. They had to execute them because they didn't want them around to testify that the about the alliance between the Nazis and the Zionists. So they had to die, and they were executed for that reason. Because, oh, they told about the atrocities that the German generals had committed. But German generals are like any other generals. They don't really commit atrocities. The troops under their command may commit atrocities, but they don't commit any atrocities themselves. These German generals didn't go around shooting Jews or anybody else. But they were executed, and so the Zionist secret was safe. That and now the Zionists were now in command of the world because their National Socialist allies were now gone from history, and the Zionists had a free reign, so they set up the State of Israel. And in fact, some Jews themselves even claim that there should be a statue to Adolf Hitler in Israel because he created the State of Israel, which is absolutely true. Without Adolf Hitler, Israel would not exist. The Jews would still be dispersed and they would have no country. But George Steiner, a very famous Jewish writer, proposed this about 10 years ago. He said, why don't they put up a statue to Adolf Hitler in Israel? Well, they're not likely to. And because there again, the big job of the criminals is to keep the truth from the people. They want, not only do they want you not to find out anything, but they flood you with disinformation. Most of the stuff that you get in the press is absolute lies. And if it's not lies, it's spin or distortions. In other words, they give you 10% of the truth, and the rest is all distortions. And they demonize people so that you're filled with anger against the Holocaust people who murdered all the Jews in Germany. And and people do get very angry because of these things, and they don't even know what they're angry about because they're not told the facts. And never will be told the facts because the press is totally in the hands of the bankers, because news is a high-budget, capital-intensive operation. You need a lot of money. You need a staff covering the whole world, and it's a very expensive situation. So the average truth seeker is not going to start his own television station or newspaper, because he doesn't have the $100 million that you need to even get it off the ground. So we're reduced to meetings like this, which are very good. And we also, God apparently was merciful on us, and he gave us the internet. In fact, in the States, we had this total monopoly of television by three television networks, which were all controlled by Zionists. And so along came cable, and suddenly we had all new stations and all sorts of controversial programs coming on, which, of course, the three Zionist networks would not touch with a 10-foot pole. And the result was they were left behind. They had 100% of the television audience. They now have 30%, and it's dropping every year. In fact, it's probably less than 30%, but they're cooking the books in order to maintain their advertising revenues to give a totally false picture of their...
Well, the bottom line was that's the build-up...
That's no different today, obviously. Again, great information, as always, from the late, great Eustace Mullins. And again, that clip from his talk was titled "Only One Political Party Today, the Nazis." And the talk in Salmon Arm, B.C., back in August of 2000. So he's right. And, of course, a lot of information there. But I think maybe from there, him talking about the media, speaking of the New York Times stories that kind of, you know, brought this to mind, perhaps James Perloff, who's another person who should be on the list, the reading list, so to speak, that I'll get back to one of these days, on James Perloff's website, jamesperloff.com. He has the words of Jefferson at the top of his homepage. "Nothing can be believed, nothing can now be believed which is seen in a newspaper. Truth itself becomes suspicious by being put into that polluted vehicle. The real extent of this state of misinformation is known only to those who are in situations to confront facts within their knowledge with the ties of the day. I really look with commiseration over the great body of my fellow citizens who, reading newspapers, live and die in the belief that they have known something of what has been passing in the world." That was Thomas Jefferson in a letter to John Norville, June 14, 1807. And James Perloff continues, "Today, of course, mass media takes many forms besides newspapers, but the standards Jefferson spoke of haven't changed. Television network newscast might be substituted for newspaper in the above paragraph." Jefferson further said, "I will add that the man who never looks into a newspaper is better informed than he who reads them, inasmuch as he who knows nothing is nearer to the truth than he whose mind is filled with falsehoods and errors." And so along those lines, back to what Eustace Mullins was talking about, the story that I was referring to in the New York Times, published late yesterday, "Readers accuse us, New York Times, of normalizing a Nazi sympathizer. We respond." And that was based on the profile in the New York Times of Tony Hoveder. And that story was published the 25th of this month, titled "A Voice of Hate in America's Heartland." And of course, it's doing exactly what Eustace Mullins pointed out. And I would like to make the distinction while we're on the subject. This is exactly what I'm always talking about. You can look at all of the conflicts. Like you said, it's the mass of disinformation you have to slog through to really find out what's going on. And that is an intelligence community, a CIA and Mossad in particular, MI5, MI6 too. All of the intelligence agencies do it to their own so-called people, along with the rest of the world. But the practice of disinformation to make sure they throw you off the scent of what's really going on, and most importantly, what they're really up to. Speaking of that, Aaron and Melissa Dykes just did a great follow-up video to the JFK files release and how essentially it looks like CIA scripting the nothing to see here soundbites that rippled through the mainstream press. So, you know, the federal government, the CIA, and broader intelligence community, of course, held on to files for 50 years because there was nothing to see. It's utterly absurd. But the point that I was getting to specifically, speaking of Eustace Mullins' talk and this idea there's only one political party today, the Nazi Party, it's interesting. He makes the distinction, and I would add to that, he makes the distinction. He says there's a sharp divide between Orthodox Jews and Reformed Jews, a.k.a. Zionist Jews. So you have political Zionism on one side, and the problem is we conflate these. We conflate Orthodox Judaism with Zionism, and there needs to be a distinction. In the same sense, you have Orthodox Muslims versus Sunni Wahhabi or Salafi pirates or ideologues, Wahhabi and Salafi ideologues, and that's the political Zionist side of the conflict. This is the conflict that we see fomented every day, and just like Pike wrote in his letter to Mazzini, these forces are collided together, drawing the whole world in, and you can't go a day. See, we didn't all pick up on the New York Times story the way that we were supposed to. We didn't get the propaganda as fed to us properly. Folks were still busy with Thanksgiving, even with all of the chaos that it brought, if you watch the mainstream news. So they had to do a follow-up story. Mark Lacey had to do a story to kind of remind us, oh yeah, this is where the conflict is. Just like Eustace Mullins pointed out, they're telling you who to dislike, who to hate, who to fight against, it's ridiculous. Leading people by the nose on fighting. And of course you have, you know, a little bit of Antifa in here. Miss Hoverter 25 was worried about Antifa bashing up the ceremony. Speaking of their wedding ceremony, they registered a target. On their list was a muffin pan, a four-drawer dresser, and a pineapple slicer. Miss Hoverter was worried about Antifa bashing up their ceremony. Weddings are hard enough to plan for when your fiancé is not an avowed white nationalist. Blah, 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 blah. So this is what the mainstream press is instrumental in fomenting. It's kind of conflict. And we should be wise enough to rise above it. Political Zionism versus political Islam equals World War III. Read Pike's letter to Mazzini, and you'll see the headlines unfold before your eyes. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium.
80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield.
Welcome back.
Beyond the suns that guard this roof.
Interesting, perilous times. We'll kind of get into some of this here in a minute. But, you know, first on this subject that I mentioned before we went out, you heard Eustace Mullins, the late, great Eustace Mullins, talking. He was sort of commissioned into the service of Truth Seekers at the behest of Ezra Pound, and that was fantastic. Eustace Mullins is one of few people who had actually visited the Library of Congress and dug through literature that some of us have never even heard of, certainly never seen, and that's unfortunate. You know, Google, and it's what I would call Alexandria Project, the Google Books Project, trying to assimilate every piece of literature ever written, should be able to help the American public in particular and the world at large benefit from that processing and assimilating of information, you would think. And in the same sense, where's the Open Congressional Record Project? I just find it fascinating that we can't commission a CAPTCHA or reCAPTCHA initiative to clean up the old printed and photocopied congressional record. We could do that in the same reCAPTCHA fashion. You know, when you see those numbers on reCAPTCHA, that's just, we played the video clip of what's his name talking about how they, Google wanted to clean up the addresses in the Google Earth project. They want to make sure that they have the number to your house right, and so they crowdsource the veracity of that number by having you and I look at that. When you go to a site that has reCAPTCHA authentication or verification, reCAPTCHA shows you an image of someone's house number in many cases and has you verify the number. And so isn't that fantastic? We could do the same thing with the congressional record, couldn't we? What is this word? And we clean up the congressional record in a heartbeat. But of course, that's really not in the interest of the bad guys. It's interesting. Just a brief tangent, if I may, on the controversies. You know, Google is such an objective organization, of course. There's no funny business or hijinks going on there except when there is. And I'm thinking about doing some videos lately. It's been almost 10 years since I did the last one, but I think it'd be interesting to do a see something, say something, nothing to hide, nothing to fear video. You know, we hear about this nonsense, nothing to hide, nothing to fear, and see something, say something, you know, those two ridiculous campaigns. And so I might just title it the two hashtags, see something, say something, and nothing to hide, nothing to fear. Because, you know, bad guys get away with stuff. The nothing to hide, nothing to fear hashtag. Bad guys do stuff that the rest of the world would never get away with. There are a number of videos that have been published in recent months, in the last year or two in particular, on the well, I call it high-profile deviancy, but the profligacy and degeneracy, I would say generally, of even folks in positions of power, you know, people allegedly trust. Interesting how Pizzagate was dismissed, and, you know, we played the video clip of, I have a playlist titled Pedogate Pizzagate on YouTube, and about 24 of the first videos are folks in positions of power who have been caught, arrested, convicted of just awful things. And so you have political leaders, folks in schools, corrections officers, police officers, all kinds of folks in highly respected positions in the community involved in things. This just proves that it's not reserved to a particular class of society. And of course, you know, whenever the subject arises, the Franklin cover-up should come first to mind. That headline sweeping, you know, the cowboy ring, and the story of, you know, the cowboy ring that swept up folks from the Carter, Reagan, and Bush administrations. I mean, shocking stuff, you know, not reserved to a particular class of society. So see something, say something, nothing to hide, nothing to fear. In turning memetic warfare on its head, that conducted against the American people anyway by its so-called government, by the rogue political regime masquerading it as its government. I just think it'd be interesting to do a story like this, you know, or a video. $17 million in secret congressional settlements for sexual assault, harassment, and other things. Hey, Congress, if you have nothing to hide, you have nothing to fear. $17 million in secret congressional settlements. And while we're at it, I suppose, you know, we could include the Roman papacy in that. That settlement figure is exorbitant, apparently. I think it's interesting, you know, Harvey Weinstein, the headlines in the last month or so talking about Weinstein using Black Cube, Ronan Farrow's story in particular, obviously at the New Yorker, which he shopped around and was actually given the story originally, apparently, but then subsequently, I think it was supposed to air on NBC, and they you know, it's kryptonite, it's a nuclear story, so it always is. Why is anyone surprised? You know, this conversation quickly gets to the highest levels of power. And so why isn't it investigated? Why haven't we circled back around to investigate the Franklin cover-up? You know? If guys like Barney Frank, who comes out of the closet and says, oh, by the way, I'm running a cowboy ring, or, you know, my buddies are running a cowboy ring out of my DC apartment, and you know, you have former Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert, a convicted pedophile. I mean, are we really surprised? How is it that folks like Megyn Kelly can interview James Olifantis, and a couple of weeks, I think it was just a couple of weeks after she'd done the story while she was still over at Fox, about Pedogate, essentially, she interviews Olifantis and does a nothing to see here piece. I mean, it's ridiculous. There's nothing to see. Then why are folks like Tony Podesta seemingly so nervous? Why is Hillary Clinton so dismissive when there seems to be an awful lot of smoke? Incidentally, some folks have observed that, speaking of this dark network, pun perhaps lightly intended, if you go to Black Cube, the website for Black Cube, the private military contractor, blackcube.com/contact, you'll see that the phone numbers for the three offices just happen to end with the numbers 666, which is probably not an accident. Hard to imagine that, you know, that would be a coincidence. Offices in Tel Aviv, London, and Paris all end with the number 666. And of course, the number is presented in international fashion so that the suffix of the number is those three digits. That's just a coincidence. Kind of like the stories that are being reported now about Prince Al-Waleed bin Talal, of the detainees being tortured by Blackwater operatives, so-called. That story has been circulating for the last several days now. And crazy times. I mean, if it's true that a billionaire Saudi prince is among those detained at a, what, five-star or more hotel, which is just, it's all weird. If you can believe anything these days, because that's another video I was thinking about doing. It. If you think about it, we can't trust anything. You can't trust anything these days. But if we can believe anything in this story, it's just unbelievable, you know? Saudi prince being tortured, and he'll pay whatever he owes now suddenly. Of course he will. And Blackwater being mentioned, even though that's a few iterations ago. Blackwater became Z, became Academy, and Eric Prince hasn't been involved for a while, but still it seems the Blackwater runs through the veins of the organization. But I digress. So back to the bifurcation fallacy real quick. And in that, and there are lots of fallacies. It seems like everywhere you look, we have to sift through logical fallacies. And it's hard to imagine that, because of the way that the talking points are scripted, it's hard to imagine that they're accidental. So specifically, getting back to Eustace Mullins' talk before I let that go, because I wanted to get back to that real quick, which reminded me, obviously, or what was called to mind when I saw the article, you know, this harping on this neo-Nazi nonsense. The truth is, you know, that really is kind of what runs things, that sentiment. But there is this conflict in the general public that is perpetrated on the people, and they don't realize it. So we have these bifurcation fallacies and conflating that goes along with it. So the bifurcation fallacy, for example, left-right argument. Have you noticed that there is this continual harping on the madness of party worship, so to speak. And I've mentioned before that one of my new favorite books is Milford Ryerson Howard's The American Plutocracy, published in 1895. And in it, he quoted George Washington. And it's a brilliant quote. And he mentioned that this sentiment of party worship is one of the greatest challenges that we could possibly face. John Adams, of course, had a similar sentiment. And so in Ryerson Howard's book, Milford Ryerson Howard's book, well, my browser isn't cooperating, so from Washington's farewell address. Well, maybe we'll come back to that in a minute. Isn't it funny how the one thing the one page that you would want to view is the one that's so Howard writes, Milford Ryerson Howard, he wrote, commenting on the spirit of party worship, Washington, in his farewell address, and it's a great book. He has a number of fantastic quotes. Washington writes, the alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge, natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetrated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. That's bad enough, spirit of party worship. But this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. So if the press is fomenting this, then what? The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual. Uh-oh, enter Donald Trump. And sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction more able or more fortunate than his competitors, who's better able to rig the system through Cambridge Analytica and social media mining and the whatchamacallit, the voter scrubbing the voter rolls, as Greg Palast reported. Sooner or later, that person, the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purposes of his own elevation on the ruins of the public liberty. Doesn't that sound exactly like Donald Trump and today's America? But I digress. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets, even with a growing audience every day. RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Final segment of the first hour already. Unbelievable. You know, just speaking of that, see something, say something, nothing to hide, nothing to fear stuff, you know, and Google, you know, a company that has the motto, don't be evil, reminds me of AmeriQuest's don't judge too soon or something like that. You know, reminds me of that kind of a slogan, a mission statement or psychopathic projection, who knows. But, you know, speaking of Google and don't be evil, lecturing all of us on the moral high ground, I think of the Tectopus wage suppression scam. How come we don't hear about that in the mainstream press? Or YouTube's suppression of free speech. And, of course, as a company and a platform, you know, Google bought YouTube and as such is free to control or suppress whatever it wants, but to do so under the auspices of free speech and giving everyone a voice is just insulting to the intelligence of anyone with an IQ over about, you know, 70. Silencing, vilifying, firing folks like James Damore. You know, if you listen to his testimony, Prager University did a video featuring him. It's interesting, and Prager U's been really on a kick lately since they filed suit. But that's interesting. James Damore says, you know, I think it's the politics that's really causing the conflict, and if we just let the politics go, more people would gravitate toward tech naturally. So stop trying to manipulate people and coerce people. Ah, no, Google won't have any of that. search manipulation now, you know, last week, in addition to that, Android is caught tracking people even when geolocation is off. But, you know, we've been talking about that for a long time. I mean, we played the clip of what's his name? Shepard Smith on Fox back in 2008, talking about how the FBI can track you through your phone even when it's turned off. Even if Shepard Smith doesn't remember reporting on that, because earlier this year he did a piece where it seemed that he was kind of, he thought it was laughable, even though he reported 10 years ago, the FBI can track you through your phone even when it's turned off. Not geolocation off, phone off. So, you know, it's interesting to watch history continue to repeat itself, because we have become so docile and dumbed down, so simple-minded. There's more to say on the political Zionist versus political Islam conflict, and how far back that goes. I mean, where do you go to dive into that? I'll talk more about that a little bit. But coming up in the first segment of the second hour here in a second, go back to that first video that I talked about. So stick around. We'll be right back with more right after this short break.
Talk about something serious for a minute, your age. Getting old has its perks, but remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start.
This is...